Welcome to our Kingdom Culture podcast. For today's message, we are thankful for what God is doing through this podcast to encourage and transform lives around the world. If you have a story to share about how God has encouraged or transformed your life through this podcast, we would love to hear about it by emailing us at mystory@kingdomculture.ca. If you would like to support this ministry financially to help us bring messages like this to you every week, you can do so online at kingdomculture.ca at the Give option. We also would love to connect with you on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter at KC Ottawa, and Facebook at Facebook/Kingdom Culture Ottawa. We pray that you would experience God today and be encouraged through today's message. Enjoy.
It's so good to be here. I'm going to have a short message because I felt all week long that God was like, you don't need to do a lot of talking. I'm going to do the acting today. So I'm going to get out of the way and I'm just going to release what I need to release. And that's it. How many of you took advantage of Prime Day this week? I want to see. Prime Day? No, can you lift up your hands? No shame. No shame at all. I did. I think I bought almost all the Christmas gifts. The kids are not here, huh? They're not here. Okay, they don't know. Prime Day is like, whew. And I'm so thankful for now we can just like click and buy whatever we want and it will be delivered at our house. Hey, this is so fun. Because it reminds me of when Jean and I, we lived in the States. And it was our first year in 2011. And in the States, they have the Black Friday. And it's not the Canadian Black Friday. It's like really crazy Black Friday. People just go nuts. And, you know, buying online wasn't that, you know, popular or famous back in 2011. It was a little bit, but not that much. So my son and my husband really wanted to have like a specific tablet. And I was pregnant with my third one. I was really pregnant. And with my third one, I had contractions almost the whole pregnancy. So it's Black Friday. And I know what they're looking for is at a specific store. And I'm like, I'm going to surprise them and I'm going to go. So I got off work earlier. And I go in the parking and the parking is full. And I already see the lineup. And I'm like, ugh. I seriously, I couldn't even see like the entrance. The lineup was so long. But because I love my husband and my kids, I'm like, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. And I look and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I forgot my flat shoes. So I have, you know, my high heels and I'm standing pregnant and I have contractions. But I'm just like, whew. And I'm probably like a good hour outside. And then when I got inside the store, there's another lineup to get to that famous tablet, whatever, that they both wanted. So, but I didn't notice the lineup. So I'm just like, oh, here's the guy. I'm just going to get it. And the old guy, I'm pregnant. I'm not just fat. Okay, I'm pregnant. Okay? And the old man, God bless his heart, hit me with his cane. And he, oh, yes, he did. And he's like, hey, there's a lineup. And I'm like, you didn't have to hit me, savage. So anyways, after probably an hour and a half of waiting, I got the two tablets, one for my husband and one for my son. And I'm super proud of myself. It was like a long wait. So anyways, Christmas. It's Christmas Eve because we open our Christmas, our gifts on the 24th. And my son is super happy. And then my husband is like, yeah, I don't really want this one anymore. I'm like, you little piece of my heart. Piece of my heart. I said, piece of my heart. I'm like, you're going to go get. You're going to exchange it yourself. And then my son, in his excitement and his joy, said to my younger son, he said, look what Santa brought me. And I'm like, Santa? I'm like, listen, my son, do we have any children? I don't want to ruin them. Oh, otherwise, we're going to sozzle them. I'm like, send that son, sit down. I'm going to tell you who stood up with contraction on that. This is Aunt Santa, okay? This is mommy. No, I'm not giving the glory to a guy in a shopping mall, okay? That was all mommy. And I ruined him. It's okay. We have twins now. We can do better parenting. There's redemption and restoration. He's fine. He's okay. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about a story where some men had to wait to see Jesus. It was in, the lineup was in for a tablet, but the line was to see Jesus. And I want to read in Luke 5:17 in the TPT version. So one day, many Jewish religious leaders known as Pharisees, along with many religious scholars, came from every village in Galilee throughout Judea and even from Jerusalem to hear Jesus teach. And the power of the Lord God surged through him to instantly heal the sick. Some men came to Jesus carrying a paraplegic man on a stretcher. They attempted to bring him past the crowd to set him down in front of Jesus. But because there were so many people crowding the door, they had no way to bring him inside. So they crawled onto the roof, dug their way through the roof tiles, and lowered the man, stretchered and all, into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Seeing the demonstration of their faith, Jesus said to the paraplegic man, "My friend, your sins are forgiven." And I want to stop here quickly to explain that. Back in the days, religious people thought that a lame person was in that physical condition because of a sin. So when Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven," they all freaked out. They're like, you don't have the power or the authority to forgive any sins. And Jesus said, verse 24, "So to prove to y'all, that I, the Son of Man, have the lawful authority on earth to forgive sins, I say to you now, stand up, carry your stretcher, and go on home, for you are healed." In an instant, the man rose right before their eyes. He stood, picked up his stretcher, went home, giving God the glory with every step he took. Can I stop here? And what I imagine is like, glory to God. Hey, you're amazing, right? So the modern version is like the Pentecostal dance, right? Think about it. Every step, he's like, I'm walking. God, you're good. God, you're amazing. I am healed. I can now work. I have a life. I'm in the kingdom. Can you imagine? This is so cool. So the people were seized with astonishment and dumbfounded over what they had just witnessed. And they all, not half of it, not half of the crowd, not only the children and the wife, all of them, they praised God, remarking over and over, "Incredible! What an unbelievable miracle we've seen today." And I want to prophesy over your life that people will look at your life and will say, "What an unbelievable miracle we've seen in your life today." This is a story, I love this story, that teaches us about limitations and what to do with limitations, and also the importance of higher place. There's a lot we can get from this story, but I'm just going to focus on specific points. And I want to tell you why I'm speaking today on this scripture. A couple months ago, I was praying for the house. I was praying for you guys. I was praying over my life. And I was like, I just had this hunger. And I said, "God, what do you want to do with Casey? What do you want to do with us? How do you want us to partner? Like, I just want to hear one word. I just want to get some instructions, direction. Like, what is it? And I heard an audible voice. It doesn't happen very often. But I was sleeping, and that audible voice woke me up. And I heard the sentence, tear off the roof. And for many weeks, I called Pastor Sean and Pastor Michelle right away. And they're just like, wow, wow. And I'm like, I know, wow, wow. I just, you know, wow. Where do I go from this? Like, I feel there's something I need. I need to dig in. I need to pull from heaven. I need to understand what it means. So for several months, I've been like praying and reading and studying and just waiting for the right time to release the word, that word that I'm going to release today. And until I hear this video, that was the confirmation.
I am expanding this church, and I'm breaking every wall that tries to limit them in this season, that this is a year of no limits. He is going to break things open, that this is a year, 2024 going into 2025 is a year of breakthrough, is a year where God is resetting like mindsets in this season of what he can do. And God spoke to me, said, Ottawa will be known as a city with no limits. And as Ottawa breaks through, Canada is about to break through. KC will be a nation's church. It will be a multinational church. And God said this, it's going to prototype what he's about to do in Canada. There is a sound that is being released out of KC, and it's the sound of heaven. It's the sound of hope for a new day. And the winds are blowing in the sound of the worship. And get ready, God is releasing a word of the Lord through the worship. There is a, and I saw the nations were coming, and there was a sound. It was a combination of the nations and the anointing from different nations mixing together, and it sounded like heaven. KC is going to have some of the most dynamic worship in all of Canada. The second thing God spoke to me, there is an anointing for creativity and innovation. For some of you, you're coming into your years of innovation and God's secrets. I saw what looked like the biggest vault in heaven I have ever seen in my whole entire life. And I said, God, what is this? He said, it's the ideas that are reserved for this season for the church. He said, the world's not going to forerun it. The church is going to forerun it. And I saw people in KC, God wants to give you access to the vault of heaven for the secrets and the creative ideas. KC will be known as a place where they will lend to nations and they will not borrow. KC will be known as an abundance church, that the blessing of the Lord is going to overtake this ministry. There will be an anointing that will be in this church, that those that came in poverty will actually, poverty will loose off of them and they'll come into kingdom prosperity. Third thing the Lord said was this, God's going to raise up the men. Out of KC, God's raising up strong men. And the Lord said there were three elements that were coming in, was revival of the spirit, revival of the soul, and revival of the body. I saw KC becoming the healthiest church in all of Ottawa.
Hey, can we partner with this? Can we partner with this? And just in case you haven't noticed, my title this morning is Tear Off the Roof. What Pastor Sammy spoke over KC, it's exactly what God was teaching me prior to his word. So it was just a confirmation. And I feel like this morning, by obedience, I need to unlock this in your mindset and in your life. Tearing off the roof means breaking off the power of limitations and moving to a higher place, moving to a higher perspective. In the story that I just read, there are a lot of limitations. So the man with the paralyzed, you know, the lame man with paralyzed legs, his limitation is that he couldn't walk. He couldn't go wherever he wanted to. His other limitation was the mat. You need to understand that back in the days, the mat was, yes, for people to carry you, but also because they couldn't work, they placed the mat in front of them, and lame people would survive from the donation, the generosity of the community. So that mat was super important because people would throw food and money. But he was limited by everything on that mat. Another limitation is the crowd. The four men, they needed to reach Jesus. They needed to get to him, but the crowd was like blocking the entrance, the door. And we all have areas in our life where we feel limited or we feel paralyzed. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been praying, believing, even fasting and waiting, and nothing happens? Am I the only one? And maybe some of you, you're saying, I'm stuck. I'm stuck in my career. I'm stuck in my finances. I'm stuck in my projects. I'm stuck in all the areas of my life. I feel like it's not going anywhere. Maybe it's fear. You hear stories about amazing testimonies. People being blessed. They have the courage to do things. They have the boldness to do things. And you agree. You are in awe of those stories. And you think it's amazing, but it's for others because you don't have the strength. You don't have the energy. You don't have the willingness to take a risk. So you are stuck in a situation. Maybe your limitation is that nagging feeling or sense of feeling inadequate. Or maybe this morning you're like, Carly, that's really nice, but I don't need anything. I am good. My future is good. I have my plan of retirement. Everything is aligned. I have a house. Everything is paid. My kids are healthy. I actually don't need anything. This is good for others. Thank you. And maybe you're right thinking like this. Or maybe you're wrong. Because God is calling us to go from glory to glory. I personally believe that we all have areas where we feel limited, or worse, that we are blind to the limitations. Now, I want you to think about those limitations. Think about it. For some of you, it's probably easy. Oh, I know exactly what she's talking about. And I have questions for you, because I'm a judge and I do ask questions. Who ever told you that you couldn't do it? When did you start believing the lie that it was too hard, that it was impossible? Who told you that God can do this for you and nothing else? Who told you that people from your background, or maybe your past, or your education, or your age, or even your gender, they can do this and nothing else? Who told you that if you're not married at 25, there's something wrong with you? Hey, I got married at 26, so I'm fine. Kidding, just kidding, joke. Who told you that you can't buy a house because the economy is crazy? Who told you that because you fell from bankruptcy, it's the end of your business, or you cannot start another business? When did you start believing those lies? Who imposed that limitations over your life? Listen to me carefully. If there's one thing you need to remember from limitations, limitations stop us from being our true self. And we need to be aware of that. When I got married, I had some health issues, and I consulted a doctor. And what I want to tell you is that my great-grandmother had severe health issues, and she died at a very young age. She was 40 or 42. And then my mom experienced the same health issues, but praise God, she's still alive. Oh, very alive. And then I started experiencing the same health issues. So I went to see the doctor, and the doctor said, listen, Harley, I ran some tests, and because of your background, because of your family history and the current situation, you will not be able to conceive. You will not have any children. And at that moment, I actually really believed that. And I remember walking on Rideau Street. I'm over the phone with my husband, and I'm just crying. And I'm like, the doctor said I will not have any children. I don't know what to do. And then something snapped. It was a fraction of a second. And I felt like, hold on a second. I have the choice to believe what the doctor said or to believe my creator. And I said, hold on a second. I have great respect for medicine and doctors. Okay, great respect. This is not what I'm saying. But I'm like, who is this doctor who saw numbers, who talked to me for 30 minutes compared to the God who created me, the God who took me when I was dead. He actually brought me back to life. Who is this God who opened the doors for me to work in a place that I don't deserve? Who is this, like, who is this God compared to that doctor? But at that moment, I needed to make a choice. Whose report I'm going to believe? The Bible said, you shall believe the report of the Lord. And I'm not saying that from that day everything was beautiful and I was in the la-la land and I was standing in faith all the time. But every time I was doubting, I had to make a choice. Actually, I got pregnant after, and then I had a miscarriage. So it was like, Jesus, no, I'm going to believe. And God blessed me with 4 children. And I love the story that we read because it teaches us how to deal with limitations and obstacles. Verse 19 says that, but because there were so many people crowding the door, the men, had no way to bring the lame guy inside the house. The Greek language for, like, they've been trying to bring him inside the house is actually very helpful because it reveals that they had been repeatedly trying for some time. So probably they're like, excuse me, and people are like, right? I see a hole. Let's try this. Excuse me. Let's try this other way. You try, and in the meantime, they're carrying the guy, and they try not one, two, like they tried repeatedly and for a long time. So basically, when they approached the house, what did they see? Obstacles, the crowd, and some version of the story says that they could even see the door. And sometimes, as believers, the church, we believe we are stuck in the mindset that we can only walk through open doors. And that's okay. Sometimes God, it really closed the door. Like, if the girls say no to you, it's no, okay? It's okay? Let's be clear, okay? Hashtag no, okay? But sometimes God is like, hey, I need you to push. Sometimes when we see door closed at our door, we're just like, it's not God's will. And there is a moment. This is why we need to hear and discern when it's really like a closed door and when it's like, oh, I need to break through. There are times where we have to stop waiting for open doors. and we need to start making holes. Let me give you an example. When I applied to be in my professional position, I applied the first time and I passed the exam and submitted, and they called me for an interview. And after the interview, nothing. And I did it once, I did it twice, I did it three times. And at one point, I'm like, yep, you know, Jesus, I don't really want this job, you know? So you're gonna have to help me. Like, what's the problem? Maybe I'm not supposed to do it. Maybe I'm not supposed to be in that position. What is wrong? So I really started praying. I'm like, there's something off, because God gave me a word about this next position, and I'm doing my part, and it's not working. And then I met people in that field, so they're already in the position that I was, you know, hoping to get. And they said, hey, have you tried doing this and this and this and this? And they started giving me strategic plan. And in the beginning, I'm like, they're tripping. But then God was like, hold on a second. They are where you want to go. So I took into consideration their advice. And with God's grace, but because I did ignore the voice of the community, He placed me where I am today. And what I'm trying to say to you this morning is that the same way I needed the advice of my peers to get where I wanted to get, this layman needed those four men to bring him to his healing. By the way, I always thought that the four men were friends, but I'm reading different version of Mark and Luke and Matthew, and they always refer to four men, so it doesn't even say they're friends. Maybe they were annoyed to see him begging in front of their business. And they're like, hey, you need breakthrough. Because I need breakthrough. What I'm trying to say this morning is we need to surround ourselves with people who can do what we cannot do. We need to surround ourselves with people who can go where we cannot go, but we want to go. We need to surround ourselves with people who are not limited in the same areas that we are limited. Are you with me this morning? And when we go through hardship, sometimes we need comfort. Comfort is good. I'm sorry you're going through, you know, empathy, you know, a gift that my husband is still working on. If you missed the message about it, he said, like, yeah, empathy is, he's working on it sometimes. And sometimes, yeah, you need the comfort. But sometimes you need movement. And you need people who are strong where you are weak. Start, and I love this quote, start by doing what's necessary, then do what's possible, and you will end up doing the impossible. So in the story, the real question was, where is Jesus and what is he doing? Well, Jesus was in a room, and the Bible said that he was healing people. Actually, there was a healing power coming out of him. And those four men knew that here's the need, a lame guy, and here's Jesus with the power to release healing, and there's just like obstacles and distraction between. What is distracting you from being in the same room with Jesus? The four men knew that Jesus was the answer. Don't be guided by what you feel or what you see, but be guided by what you know. what you know in Christ. Obstacles are not there to delay you. Obstacles are not in place to stop you. Obstacles are not in place to discourage you. But obstacles are there to bring you to a higher place. And that completely, think about it. I'm telling you, when God gave me that revelation, it completely shifted my way of seeing the hardship or obstacles or limitation in my life. Instead of like, man, what is this? I don't understand. It's like, oh no. You're not that powerful to stop me or to stop the plan of God in my life, okay? He is God, He's sovereign. So the circumstances or the economy or the people are not that powerful to even delay the plan of God in my life. So I'm gonna look at those circumstances and I'm gonna use you to go higher. When the doors are closed or they're against you, and you know that Jesus is everything that you need, then the second step is really to deal with your situation, but from the top. You need to move to a higher perspective. Are you good? Verse 19 said that the four guys crawled onto the roof, dug their way through the roof tiles, and lowered the men. You know, it's written by men, huh? Because if a woman wrote that text, would be like, I saw a man who dared to made a hole in my house. I would be like, excuse me, what's your plan? You're going to fix this. You're going to fix your mess. And at the same time, can you put like a little something? Because I've been asking my husband to put it in here. Okay, that would be, thank you very much. I'm like, nobody says something about like, it is normal. I'm just going to make a hole. By the way, yeah, this is how I read the Bible. I just like, and God is like, come back, Harley. Okay, focus. So they went higher. There's an obstacle. They're like, They went higher. They went to the roof. They dug a hole and they lowered the men. They went up. They made a hole and they lowered the men. Basically, they went higher. They broke through. And then they release on earth. The word, they let down the mat. Because this is, once they made the hole, they let down the mat. The original language means that they let down from a higher place, a higher perspective, to a lower one. Let me show you the importance of going higher. Have you ever had an issue with Bell or Rogers? Hey, I got witnesses, huh? I know, right? And I just named those because, is it recorded? I'm sorry, we need you, Bell. We need Rogers. We bless you. Okay, yeah. Yeah, competition. When there's an issue, you have two type of individuals. So you have the individuals are like, I'm going to call customer service. They're going to be like useless. Okay, that's it. That's okay. That's my husband. Okay, they're like, no, the girl wasn't able to help me. Emily, may I please help you? May you please state what is your problem? I want to speak with a human being. This is my problem. And then my husband calls and is like, they weren't able to help me. And I'm like, what? Give me the phone. Then you have the second type of individuals, a little bit savage, like me. I'm okay. I can take ownership of my nature. And I'm like, hey, yeah, Emily. I'm like, zero. I don't even want to hear about Emily. I'm like, zero. I want to speak with a human being. So I'm like, hey, here's the problem. And yes, thank you for your call. And they're so kind. I've been working in customer service, so I get it. But And I'm like, yeah, okay. Can I speak with a supervisor? Can I speak with the manager? Can we bring it to a higher level? And I can tell you, test it. Do it. Do it. When you speak with a supervisor or a manager at a higher level, they will solve the problem. And that's exactly what I'm saying here. You don't deal with your obstacles at the first level. You bring it higher. You bring it higher. Because higher, there's the perspective. Higher, there's God. Higher, there is the heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6 says that God raised us up together with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places. Seated in the heavenly places is not a doctrine. It's an experience. I love Bill Jensen. It's so true. This is not a theory. This is not like a nice sentence or a nice verse or a nice doctrine that we have in the church. It is actually a place where we need to be. It is a place where we are right now. And if you are a child of God, you are sitting in the heavenly places with Christ. You are in a place with love, promotion, prosperity, in place of honor, in place of victory, in place of triumph and joy and fulfillment and breakthrough. This is where you are right now. And if you haven't had a chance to say yes to Jesus and to let it be your Savior, I will give you an opportunity to do so very soon. But this is free and this is accessible to anybody and everybody. And maybe you're having a hard time this morning understanding, but how can I be physically here and be in the heavenly places? It doesn't make sense. Is someone asking this question? I ask myself this question. Okay, here's the analogy that God gave me. Because of COVID, thank you, COVID. There are some benefits. There were some benefits. Zoom exploded, right? Anyone on Zoom, like you have never experienced a Zoom call or no? Everybody, right? Can I see your hands? Everybody, yeah. Zoom, have you ever been on a Zoom call? I just want to make sure you're alive. Okay, yeah. So when you move your arm, it's like, oh, hold on a second. I don't know why I'm raising my hand, but I'll do it. Okay? So Zoom, everybody. Okay, how can I be in my office or even in my car in Ottawa and be on a call B with someone in Paris, everything at the same moment? If human technology can put us in two places at the same time, well, God is certainly able to do it as well. Right? So this is how you are here, but also in the heavenly places. God raised us up with him and made us sit with him. And I'm going to skip because I really want to activate the word I'm releasing. So raised up, the Greek word actually means awake. So God is like, wake up. Wake up to the new reality. I'm in your heart. Okay, I died on the cross for you. I got the key of life for you. I conquered the devil. I went to hell. I went back to heaven. I am sitting in the heavenly places, and I did this all for you. And you know what? I made a sit next to me in that place. So wake up. Wake up to that reality. Kingdom culture, it is time to wake up, to be awake to the reality that we are seated in the heavenly places. And to made a seat, the Greek word for sit together means that we are in a place of accomplished fact. It is a accomplished. And Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. And sometimes before standing against the enemy or walking against giants in our lives, we must lean into the place where we sit. So instead of trying to win any victory, we need to operate from the place, the mindset that we are already standing in victory. The victory is won. The battle is done. And it reminds me of when we adopted the twins and you know, the birth mom kidnapped. I'm trying to be respectful, but anyway, she took the kids. And my daughter the next day said, Mommy, I had a dream. Jesus said that we're going to have the twins back. So stop crying. And let's get ready. So you know what my husband and I, we did? We started preparing the house for the babies. Even though the social workers and the lawyers were like, we've never seen this. You better grieve. You're not going to have your babies back. So we're like, okay, let's buy a crib. Let's buy two cribs. Let's buy two mattresses. Let's get a strollers. Let's get car seats. Because we are in a place where we don't walk by what we see, but actually we believe. We are making the choice to believe that we're going to have them back. And you know what? When we got them back, it was quick. It was like phone call, get them. They were back in Canada with us. That quick. And we were not freaking out. Oh my gosh, we need a car seat. Oh my gosh, we need a stroller. No, because we stood in a place where we already had victory. So we were able to prepare ourselves for the reality of victory. Go higher, house. Go higher, kingdom culture. Can I hear you say go higher? The first time I took the plane with my son, Eli, he was mesmerized. He's like, oh, mommy, this is amazing. And he's like, mommy, the house are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And I'm like, no, they're not getting smaller. They're still there. We are going up. We're going higher. This is the legacy. This is what we have. They made a hole. They broke through the roof. This is what we call the breaker anointing. And I just want to declare over this house that it is a season to walk in the breaker anointing. It is the season to walk into the breaker anointing. The breaker anointing comes from, and we unfortunately, we won't have time to read it, but it's from, for those who are taking notes, Micah 2:13, where actually it says that God is the one breaking open the way before us, and then after we break through, because he's before us and he's breaking the way, then we are coming after, and we break through the gates, any limitations, any obstacles. And the breaker word is actually a very strong word in Hebrew because it means to break down and destroy. I got so excited. You know, have you had that like a super good news and you're telling people and they're just like still face? Again, I love my husband, but that's my husband, okay? Okay? When I got appointed, I'm like, honey, I got the phone call. I got appointed. You know, I was expecting, I'm so glory to God. This is amazing. He's like, yeah, when do we start? So what does that mean? And I'm like, seriously? Let's try again, okay? Still face. Oh, I have good news for you guys. And I pray that your spirit will get it. You carry the breaker anointing. So it means that not only you break down things, but you destroy. You know what it means? That you break through circumstances and you make sure that they don't come back after you. This is the breaker anointing. Now, the second definition of breaker, according to the Hebrew word, are you ready? This one got really, I was so excited. The second definition, according to the Hebrew word, is breaker means to increase an abundance. Isn't that amazing? I think this is so cool. Okay, you know, when Israel was in captivity and they were slaves, the Bible said that they were giving birth, like it was out of control. They got busy. Okay. They were not tired at the end of the day because they were like multiplying babies after babies after babies. That's they multiply even in captivity. Isaac was in a very similar situation that we are right now, with a crazy unstable economy. It was the drought. And the Bible said, because he was under a different government, because he was serving a different kingdom, because he knew his authority, he reaped 1,000 times, not like in 10 years, in the same year. And the word increase, that multiplication, is actually the breaker anointing. Kingdom culture, I do not care. I seriously do not care what the economy says. I know that I have the, by the grace of God, I have the breaker anointing to multiply, to increase, to live in abundance, not for me, but to bless this country. And I believe, kingdom culture, that we are called to lend to the nation. Okay, let's stand up. Let's activate. Are you good? Awesome. Can I have the prayer team, ministry team? Because maybe you're going to go home and you're like, but I don't have those 4 people in my life to bring you, to bring me. Oh, I'm sorry. Worship team, please come back. Sorry. Maybe you're going back home and you're going to be like, but I don't have those 4 individuals to bring me to my breakthrough. Because when I go home, well, nobody knows Jesus, or I don't know anybody in those places of influence. And what I want to tell you, I want to give you an opportunity to come here this morning, to come and receive from those individuals. They have been anointed to release breakthrough in your life. Don't miss the opportunity. Pastor Eduardo last week spoke about pay attention. When God said, this is a season where I want the house to tear off the roof, and then a prophet from the nation comes and said exactly the same thing, that it is a season of no limitation, we need to pay attention. This is like better than Prime Day. We need to pay attention. And this morning, first of all, I want to give an opportunity to maybe some of you, you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You can't really say, I am a child of God. And I want to give you an opportunity to make him your Savior. And it's very, very simple. And I invite you, everybody, to close their eyes. It's very simple. Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. He's actually very interested in all the areas of your life. And if it's your case today, you want to make him your Savior and your Lord. I'm just going to encourage everybody to repeat after me. Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you for your life. Thank you for loving me. I say yes today. And I declare that you are my Lord and you are my Savior. And I am now a beloved child of God, in Jesus' name.